Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 408, as this week we bring you the first hour of WCW Great American Bash 1992. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined by my co-host, the other half of the watch-along tag team champions of the world, Shane Shadows. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return of the year 1992, and get ready to hook him up with Cowboy Bill Watts?
Let's hook him up. Absolutely.
That's right. Okay, I think we're ready. First of all, thanks again to everybody in case you missed it online. Back in the top 100 in the United States in wrestling podcasts, according to Apple Podcasts, in at number 99, we'll take it. So it's nice to know that you still care.
Absolutely. So is that just on Apple or is that all? According to Apple.
That's according to Apple, yes. That's all out of all the wrestling podcasts. It's not a poll. It's all the wrestling podcasts in the United States.
Wow. Yep. So we're in the top 100, and there's got to be how many? 120, 130?
Yeah, maybe possibly more than that, but yes.
Yeah, 1,000.
We feel the love, folks.
It's an honor, and let's push it. Let's get on our horses here and. Let's drag this thing up to the top 75 by Christmas. What do you think, people? Get on board and get your friends on board with what we're doing here on the Way Back Playback. We just did a great match from 1961 the other night on the Black Scorpion tier. We do the deep dives when you pay the extra money for them, but we're always trying to be as insightful as possible. That's kind of my rule. I try to be funny, but I'm much better at being insightful than I am at being funny. Okay. At least according to my wife. So.
Well, okay. Well, there you go.
And she's always right. Just ask her.
That's right. I understand completely how that works. All right. So what we have here is, and don't forget patreon.com/waybackplayback for all your patroning needs or to get hold of the previous 407 podcasts. That's how we do things here. Great American Bash 92 was a runaway winner in the poll. Yeah. And because it's 4th of July weekend, I guess that kind of makes sense when you think about it, which I really
yes.
Like. So big win for Shane there.
Topical. Yeah, big win for my pick. I like to be, July to me is Great American Bash, just like August to me is SummerSlam. Certain times of the year just put you in certain moods for certain types of events or certain previous events, and that's what we do here. We talk about old wrestling events.
This is definitely a good one to start with. So let's go ahead and return in our minds to Sunday, July 12th, 1992. If you were following the business then, it doesn't matter. Actually, it doesn't matter whether you were or not. The previous WCW show took place on July 11th when WCW went to the Diamond in Richmond, Virginia. That's the minor league ballpark at the time, the home of the Richmond Braves. That show, 2,400 in attendance, and you got to see WCW champion Sting teaming with Nikita Koloff to defeat Big Van Vader and Rick Rude when Sting pinned Rick Rude.
That's a pretty strong main event.
That's not the main event. The actual main event saw the WCW World Tag Team Champions, Steve Dr. Death Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy, beat the Steiner Brothers by over-the-top rope disqualification.
It was being pushed. Double main event, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds
2,500 at the ballpark. That's for what they were drawing at that time. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, it wasn't what they wanted, but it was. It wasn't the worst that they were doing.
You never have enough. That.
I know that. Meanwhile, if you were around on Sunday, July the 12th, the WWF didn't try to run specifically against the Bash. They had their A show. At the Richfield Coliseum outside Cleveland, on that show it was the Natural Disasters, Earthquake, and Typhoon beating the WWF Tag Team Champions Money Incorporated by countout. Money Incorporated, as you know, Ted DiBiase and Irwin R. Scheister. And in the main event, there was the WWF Champion Randy Savage defeating Ric Flair by her first decision. After the referee caught Flair using brass knucks, they did that finish several hundred times around the horn.
Personally, if it's you and you have the choice between seeing those two events, which one do you go see based on those two matches?
I mean, I, geez. Well, I mean, I would see the W. I'd go to Richmond too. And I mean, but primarily because I already saw that, WWF A show when it came around in the summer of 92. So I'd see the one I hadn't seen before.
I think Flair and Savage's matches were better in WCW than the ones they did in WWF. In my opinion.
They did that same match. I mean, they did that same match in their 95, you know, house show run that they did in the 92 house show run. I mean, literally the same match. So,
well, they're patternized wrestlers, so yeah.
Yeah. The B show, WWF B show, was in Toronto in front of 4,200 people. We got to see the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal defeat the Beverly Brothers. And the main event, Shane, it was the Ultimate Warrior teaming up with the Undertaker to defeat Papa Shango and the Berserker.
Oh, wow. Gimmicks galore on top that night in Toronto.
Yep.
Wow.
That must have been something.
It had to be something. Behold. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, if we keep going around, now, Global Wrestling was at the Sportatorium Friday, July 10th. John Tatum had just taken over as the new booker for Global Wrestling, and he came up with a strategy. He went around to all the Hooters restaurants in the greater Dallas area and passed out free tickets. So attendance was up to 725 for that show. Wow. On that show, they were still taping for ESPN, I think, at that point. On that show, it's Maniac Mike Davis beating Sam Houston by disqualification in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Houston was disqualified for chasing Mike Davis around the ring with a chainsaw.
Well, that's a little stupid, but the match itself, so they were both good workers.
They're both very good workers, yes. The main event, the actual main event, is a six-man tag where the Ebony Experience and Scott Putski joined forces to defeat the trio of Johnny Mantell, Alex Porteau, and Sean Summers.
John Summers, I forgot that name.
Yep. The Ebony Experience.
I was a Global fan. I watched.
I was watching it back then too. Yeah.
Yeah, 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So Ebony Experience, of course, Booker T and Stevie Ray, who would later be known as, you know, Harlem Heat. Smoky Mountain Wrestling on Sunday, July the 12th, was doing a free outdoor show at Durango Park in Knoxville, Tennessee. At the outdoor show, Brian Lee defeated the Dirty White Boy, Tony Anthony. And in the main event, Robert Gibson and Tim Horner beat the Heavenly Bodies in a non-title match.
That would have been a fun one to watch.
Yeah. Can't beat free, you know, especially if it was a nice day out.
We patterned so much of championship pro wrestling after Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, well, it does.
We needed that big record producer to come in and bankroll us.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But yeah, we were notorious, of course. Just you talk about this, a free show at the park or at
the fair. Yeah,
you know, they've got the
which I should point out that you're still doing, right?
Oh my Lord, I still do. I love it. I just picked up another one this week.
There you go.
I should have three of them Labor Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. I love it. It's the only way to promote wrestling to me at this point that makes sense in an area like this, because they pay you, you provide them with a good show, and people turn up and they don't have to spend their money.
Yeah,
I mean, they spend their money on other stuff. It's all part of the entertainment budget.
But they feel like, I mean, you feel like you're getting a good deal if you show up there and it's free wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
And I always try to bring them somebody. You know that one of my shows this Labor Day weekend has Tommy Wildfire Rich headlining.
All right, so fired up.
I always try to, you know, I like to try to bring somebody in. Tony Atlas was in for us on Memorial Day weekend. The Patriot is a, you know, Tom Brandy, of course, not Dale Wilkes, before anybody starts calling and flipping out and acting stupid.
No.
We're not trying to pretend it's Dale Wilkes. He works for me a lot. I mean, Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express, the Barbarian. Yes. We bring in the guys from the past because that's what, at the festivals and the fairs, they just want to see three or four good fun matches and relive the past for a couple minutes.
Yep.
Don't we all want to go back to a simpler time when we enjoyed ourselves and life wasn't so rough?
Well, in theory, that's why people are listening to this podcast. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's why we do it twice a week. Yeah, because we enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is true. All right. So the USWA Memphis TV on Saturday, July 11th. The USWA, this is all happening in studio on TV. The USWA Tag Team Champions, the Moondogs, defeat Eric Embry and Tony Falk. And Ricky Morton pins the USWA champion Eddie Gilbert in a non-title match to set up their championship match the following Monday at the Mid-South Coliseum.
That's good stuff right there. I'm sure they had a great match on TV and an even better match at the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Tony Falk always kind of reminded me of Eric Embry. So hearing these two team up together kind of make me chuckle a little bit. I loved Eric Embry. I loved Eric Embry when he was booking in Dallas and the whole World Class versus USWA thing. Eric Embry was a phenomenally underrated talent. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, Eric, thanks.
Yep. Yeah, come on the show sometime, Eric.
Yeah, it'd be great.
We have free time, yeah. Okay, Portland, the Portland Sports Arena on Saturday, July 11th. Damian Knight defeats Mike Winter, and in the main event, it is the Harris brothers, Ron Harris, Don Harris, defeating Jesse Barr and Carl Pope.
Carl Pope. Was that Carl Stiles?
I don't know.
Huh.
Oh, and there was a big indie show that weekend, Great Lakes Wrestling on July 11th in Willowick, Ohio. If you were in attendance, you got to see Rockin' Robin beat Candy Devine. And the main event, Jerry Lawler beats Kamala by disqualification when Ivan Koloff interferes and attacks Lawler.
Well, that guy was running some big money independent stuff for that period of time. He had got some good coverage in the national magazines, and I would have liked to have been there because, I have family that I have an Ohio connection. There was one time when we were on a trip out there. We missed it by a weekend, but they were having something at the Armory with all the old guys. The Sheik was supposed to be there. And Dominic DiNucci and Luis Arriba Martinez and all the guys who were big in that part of the country. And I tried every which way to try to convince my father to stay an extra week.
No sale, I'm guessing?
Yeah, it didn't work.
I'm sorry. Did I miss one? I don't think I missed one. I wanted to see the Sheik.
I never got to see the Sheik.
Okay. Well, sorry about that, Shane. All right, the pro wrestling news, straight from the Observer that week. The talk backstage in WCW is that sometime between July 20th and Halloween, Ron Simmons is going to win the WCW heavyweight title, which begs the question of whether Ron's the right guy for the job.
And we'll get what? When they did it.
They did a heck of a job on that. Yes,
that was one of the best television angles, one of the best episodes of a program that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can make the argument that he wasn't the right guy, but they certainly tried. They certainly put.
I mean, they got right. That I mean, the actual bit with Simmons winning the title that worked.
Always the memory of that kid running down the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
The African-American kid running down the aisle when Simmons slammed him because, he knew. But that kid knew it, and he just went nuts. And what a great moment. It was very patterned, with the after-match celebrations and so forth. It was very patterned after the way Dusty would always do things. And he had a big hand in that, with bringing the baby faces out, lifting the guy up on his shoulders. And making a moment. Yeah. They always make it a moment. Make everything a moment. If you're going to do it right. Don't mess around. Yeah.
All right.
Trying to annoy the champion. But anyway, we're running off on the rails here.
Yes, we are. That's okay. All right. So other news, on July 11th, Tatsumi Fujinami wins the CWA Intercontinental title in Germany. And word is out from Meltzer, he is about to make his return to New Japan. He is obviously a former NWA champion. He'll be a great Sasuke's tag team partner that summer, and maybe he'll be in the upcoming NWA World Title Tournament.
Did Fujinami go out on tour that year or something?
I don't know why he was away from New Japan, but he was. So
he was at Wrestle War '92, wasn't he? His partner against the Steiners? Was it Fujinami?
Fujinami and Azuka?
I want to say it was Fujinami and Azuka. Fujinami was that's another guy I would like to have seen it.
Tremendous talent.
Never really happened. I got to see Yatsu, though. Yoshiaki Yatsu. I did see him.
Cool.
And Tenryu. Tenryu just popped up on a Washington, on a Landover WWF house show. he didn't wrestle, but he just walked. They introduced him in front of the crowd. I have no idea why he's there, but they introduced Henry to the crowd. It's like, yep. What the hell is he doing in Washington?
Doesn't matter, man. All right. Big news from Stanford. WWF finally got the Meadowlands Arena back from WCW. They're about to draw a huge crowd on July 18th for their B show, which ends up being Ultimate Warrior versus Papa Shango and Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. They end up the next week. The word is out that they drew 12,500 and a gate of almost $200,000, making it the biggest North American crowd since WrestleMania 8.
Well, the only reason they took themselves out of there because of trying to strong arm the building because they were booking. Right. WCW, they took themselves out of it. It ain't like they were thrown out or anything.
No, but they're back. So they're back, and people were interested in seeing them.
Yeah, and why not? Because it's easy. I actually think that the Meadowlands is easier to get to than the Garden.
Mm. Oh yeah, that makes sense.
A different worlds. I mean, they're not that far away mile wise because just the size of the cities and stuff. But it's a different world, just like. The Nassau Coliseum was a different world than both of them.
Right.
Totally different band.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, we'll come back and we'll get started with the Great American Bash 1992. Ooh. All right, and while we're doing this commercial, Shane, just want to point out, hi to everybody listening. You can join us on the Black Scorpion tier, patreon.com/waybackplayback. 408 episodes of the show are there, including, I think, 22 bonus episodes now, including, we just recorded Pat O'Connor versus Buddy Rogers from 1961. There's just so much stuff that we can go through, a lot of it on YouTube that we cover every couple of weeks in the Black Scorpion tier, just trying to put up a new episode, and we'd love to have you with us. Just sign up now, sign up for the first tier, the Time Traveler tier. You get all the episodes in advance and you get the episodes without commercials. If you want the bonus stuff, you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, which is what most of our people end up doing. Shane.
And I will do you one better for the entirety of this summer, because I'm excited. If you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, we want your name and your address, and we will send you a classic 8x10 of a mystery wrestler. We're a way back playback. We're all about the past here. We will send you. I will send you out of my personal collection a random 8x10 picture from the previous generation. I got hundreds of photos between now and the end of the summer. If you sign up for the Black Scorpion here, I will send you an 8x10 photograph. How's that?
Okay. Sound? Yeah. So sometime between. So if you sign up for Black Scorpion here between now and Labor Day, let's say.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
That is a great deal. would any of those wrestlers be Shane Shadows?
Well, it could possibly be, but I mean, more to the point, I mean, I got pictures of guys from the whole wrestling history. Just, it used to be a common thing. That's how wrestlers got their names in front of promoters before the internet. They would send stacks of 8x10s and informational promotional packets and, and I got a pretty good collection of stuff, and I can definitely afford to trim down. So if you sign up, I like to give things back to people who are given to us. So
all right,
between now and Labor Day, get a free 8x10.
That sounds like a good plan. So check us out. Sign up, patreon.com/waybackplayback. If you're a listener, if you have friends who like the old pro wrestling stuff, tell your friends about this show. We're coming up on our 8th anniversary, and we want as many of you aboard as possible for that, because who knows where we're going to end up next. We've got a lot of good stuff ahead, including this whole 92 bash, and we're very proud to have all of you aboard here on Wayback Playback on the Creative Control Network. All right, and we're back. Let's go ahead and get back to this. Oh, shoot. I think I pushed the wrong button, Shane.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Peacock will do it to you. Okay, I think I've got this under control. Let me go ahead and, I want Great American Bash. Okay, so we start off the Great American Bash at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. And we've got, hold on. Oh, come on. Shoot. Yeah, 0 minutes and 0 seconds, and there should be a flag on the screen. Is that, does that track with what we know here?
Yes.
Actually, it's more like two. Oh, come on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've got two. Actually, it's 2 seconds with you know, almost nothing on the screen, but yeah.
I'll catch you. I'm at 5 seconds. I'll meet you there.
Okay. Everybody's there with us. Great American Bash 92 on Peacock. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And here we go. We're going to get the first two matches in. Don't worry, they're long matches. Time permitting, I have a bonus match ready for you. Okay. So these are the seven surviving teams in the NWA World Tag Team Tournament, I believe.
This was an interesting choice for a Great American Bash pay-per-view event.
Agreed.
By and large, I historically am not a big fan of tournaments.
Right.
And they're in particular, they're difficult to do from a promoter's aspect.
Yeah. That's why we didn't do a whole lot of them.
Yeah, I think we did one. as I recall it anyway.
I remember that one.
For the big time promotions to do it once in a while because of having to switch belts or try to just kind of change directions a little bit. I understand the need to do it. I didn't particularly, it's been a long time since I watched this show. I remember watching this program at the home of my late friend Dave Albright, who had the pirate box.
The dreaded pirate box, yes.
Which actually, when he passed away, it was like I made a bid on it at the when they auctioned off his belongings, just for the purpose of having this kind of
Here's what happened at the Clash of Champions. Doc and Gordy and the Steiners decided to have their quarterfinal match at the Clash. Terry Gordy clips Scott Steiner and Dr. Death gets the win.
I've seen smoother looking finishes. Yeah. That was a rough one.
Looked painful,
though. The intent was there. Yeah, the intent was there. Looks good here.
Yeah. Okay, Akira Nogami is supposed to be teaming with Hiroshi Ase, but Nogami sustains an eye injury. So he's being replaced by a guy by the name of Shinya Hashimoto. Yeesh.
Yeah, so, imagine that. Is that Jimmy Suzuki doing the gig as the optometrist?
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Maybe that's a shoot optometrist. I don't know. But either way, I don't know.
Magnum is letting Tony Schiavone know that this Hashimoto guy is pretty good, by the way.
He's something.
Okay, here we go. So,
great talent that died way too young.
Mm-hmm. All right. So those are your three other quarterfinal matches, which we're going to get to in order 1, 2, and 3, to kick off the show. Now, this show, 8,000 people are in attendance at the Albany Civic Center in Albany, Georgia. However, it turns out that WCW gave out 8,000 coupons for free tickets. So there's 4,000 paid. And 4,000 people turned away at the door because they didn't get in time to redeem their coupons.
Huh. Yeah. That still shows some interest, though.
It does.
I forgot about Ventura still being here at this point. Yeah. That's like that jacket's like vintage 86 Jesse.
That is some classic. That might have been. That looks a little bit like the one he wore for that Saturday night's main event. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the same jacket.
Oh well, perfect. There's continuity from week to week on this show.
Yes. These two did not blend well as a team, and they both have admitted as such.
They didn't care for each other. Jesse didn't do a lot of prep for this sort of thing.
Yeah. And Jesse came in. Oh, here's the cowboy.
Cowboy with Eric Bischoff. Huh. What? Yes. All right. Two big championships decided here tonight. So what is
Yes, look at those dirty ass lockers in the background. They could have cleaned that up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, at least you know you're at the Albany Civic Center, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. The NWA has different rules from WCW. For example, when Bill Watts changed a bunch of rules, got rid of off the top rope and that sort of thing, the NWA did not change its rules.
So he was explaining that. Much like the American and National League, which up until this year also operated under slightly different rules.
Right. Yeah. However, in the Sting Vader match, can't jump off on the top rope onto somebody. And Bill wearing a suit, which is a nice touch. Let's hook them up, folks. All right, let's get started. I mean, there's not a lot of fluff here.
Yeah, I love the let's hook them up. I understood what he was doing even then. I mean, right. But I also can understand why people were not in support of it.
Right.
Especially like the two guys like these guys here. They're high flyers.
Yeah,
aerial attacks and so forth.
You had Juice and Liger working TV tapings, and he couldn't come off the top rope. I mean, it's a challenge. Liger and Pillman are your team here. They won their first round match of the Clash.
Yeah, of course, these guys are a team. Earlier in the year, they had that brilliant match at Super Brawl 2.
Yes,
they got some history, but it's good history. And it's exciting to see guys like this.
And you can go back in the podcast feed and find us doing Super Bowl too. So, all right. So there's going to be a lot of talent here in this ring here. So. Oh, hi, Mike Atkins.
Yeah.
Former Lithuanian. From Lithuania, North Carolina. Get a call off.
Oh, a chateau à table.
And Charlotte, North Carolina's favorite son, Ricky Steamboat.
A lot of empty seats up there for having people turned away at the door.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, I just read what's in the Observer. Yeah, there are...
I mean, they definitely got a good crowd there, but I mean.
Oh yeah, it doesn't. It's not packed though. All right. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like what you occasionally had on WCW shows was a big logistics mess going on somewhere.
Chaos. Okay. Someone putting the wrong time on it. Someone starting the show started at 8, not 7.
Yeah,
and just nonsensical stuff that you would think that.
Yeah, these are two babyface teams, neither of which have had a lot of experience teaming up. So let's see what we have here. I mean, so there's some curiosity here. You want to see what's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember seeing the highlights of this on, Channel 4, George Michael's Weekly Wrestling Report.
Nikita, obviously the big man in this match, the powerhouse.
Mm-hmm. Even though he is trimmed down from just a few years prior.
Yeah, he's a lot leaner. Let me see here. I think this was the week after they had a house show card in Baltimore.
Okay.
Let me look up here on the wall.
Well, it would be because they used to do 4th of July in Baltimore, so makes sense.
Great American Bash on tour. It looks like it's David slipped down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think, if it was before this or after.
Yeah.
Give me one second here.
I want to say, I'm going to go back and look at something now, but I want to say the 4th of July show, they had... It was either Steiners and Doc and Gordy going on a time limit draw.
In Baltimore?
Yeah.
Saturday, July 4th, 1992. And yes, I think you're right.
Yep.
So that's a week before this, right?
Yep. Well, 8 days, yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm trying to remember. I know the Cincinnati Steiners, Gordy and Williams. I think Sting defeated the Super Invader.
The Super Invader. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention this. I'm sorry. The dark match for this show, the Super Invader, managed by Harley Race, defeats Marcus Bagwell.
Okay, of course, you know, Super Invader, for those who may or may not know, was Hercules Hernandez.
Yep. It gave, Vader could team with him on house shows and, you know, and,
right.
And Hercules could drop the fall. It worked out very nicely, yeah.
And I want to say that 4th of July, that 4th of July card, Vader wrestled Nikita.
I was completely wrong about this too. Vader was not on the 4th of July card. Let's see. And the Steiners and the Steiners beat the Doc and Gordy by disqualification. So,
okay. Yeah, I seem to remember a match where they combined two singles matches and ended up being Arn Anderson and Cactus Jack against Ron Simmons and
Ricky Steamboat.
I think that's right.
You got it.
And the referee, I believe, was Ole.
Wow. Well, that's right. Ole was a special troubleshooting referee for some of this stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we got a chance to see Ole. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, yeah, on July 5th at the Omni, it was, again, in front of 2,500 people, it was Doc and Gordy winning the WCW tag team titles off the Steiners.
Yes.
Okay.
I seem to remember Baltimore being a you know, probably an average crowd.
2,500 according to this. So
I also bought a WCW hat and a Cactus Jack t-shirt that night. And I wish I knew where they both were because lost to one of my multiple divorces, most likely. Liger not getting anywhere. We're trying to tackle Nikita. A nice little slide there, a la Chief J. Strongbow.
There we go. Oh, nice, Jason.
Rock. Nice big tackle.
Yep. Tag to Pillman. Here we go. All right.
People used to say Nikita couldn't. Nikita was by the time he was all said and done. Remember, this is for the last 6 months worth of Nikita Koloff's career here.
That's right.
I mean,
he was green when he started out, but yeah,
he was a polished pro.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he went through WCW. His wife died. He had a brief run in AWA, which was kind of like working part time at that point. Came back into WCW, and
I saw him on an independent card in Martinsburg at the Armory and wrestled Axel Rotten. There's a picture of it somewhere. Mm-hmm. It was on YouTube or something or other. You can see me standing in the background. Nikita, it's like Nikita when he had hair. He's whipping Axel into the buckle, and I'm standing back there against the wall when I had that big black-haired mullet that I sported for years, just smiling ear to ear. What a great time.
Yep.
He autographed a picture for me that night. Nikita was super cool.
Good.
I still actually have the photo. It's hanging up here somewhere. Okay. Or was. I got so many. You know, 40 years around this and pending this, and this has been my thing. This and baseball.
Okay, there's the arm bar. Yep. My father-in-law is excited. MLB on 4th of July. They got four games back to back to back to back. So.
Yes, starting off with the
Nationals at 11. Yeah.
Playing that 11 a.m. game that I've attended a few of those through the years. Not looking like it's going to be happening this year, but.
Yeah, perhaps not. All right, Steamboat in control.
Things happen.
I mean, given that these four guys, probably I don't see any record of them ever having done a tag team match against each other. Things are going pretty smooth.
Well, I guess that's the kind of when you add an international flair to these tournaments, and that's what makes them unique because the matchups can be unique.
Which reminds me, our feature coming up right after this, another quarterfinal match. It's the Freebirds of Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin against Hiroshi Hase and Shinya Hashimoto.
Well, that was just bad booking.
that's one you're not going to see anywhere else, folks.
Ever again. And if they would have told us that 30 years ago, we probably would have thanked them. Not a good mix.
Oh, well, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, about all of it. Yeah. Big slam here from Nikita.
And if we, for some reason, run short after all that, I've got a bonus match, ready to go to from YouTube. So we'll be okay.
Yeah. We talked for 25 minutes before we get to our match tonight.
We probably are going to be able to fill this. Yeah. Good way to spend the month of July.
Why not? Let's get it going.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Which means that on next week's show, we get Dustin Rhodes, Barry Windham versus Rick Rude and Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Well, hard to go wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be very difficult to go wrong with that.
Okay, Steamboat working the headlock. And he's actually working the headlock, just, you know, for those of you modern wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, take note as to how that happens.
Or modern fans who call it a rest hold. It's not a rest hold.
It's not supposed to be a rest hold, right.
Big elbow from Pillman. And a cover. Nikita, you have an encouragement. Nice on the money drop kick.
Yeah, Pillman always had that intensity, you know, which...
He was an outstanding talent. He was... By the time his interviews and his personality caught up, he was past his physical prime because he was just so beat up, you know.
Yep. Okay. All right, so Nikita yelling encouragement, and that, you know, he's loud enough to cover whatever spots they're calling in there. Although I don't think with Steamboat in there, that's a big problem.
Is that guy in the front row? Look out.
Oh.
Oh, nicely done. Is he going to get the Duke here?
That's all. Got two.
Is that guy in the front row wearing one of those pillbox striped Pittsburgh Pirate hats from the We Are Family era?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice one. Tombstone pile driver. Yep.
That's a little ode to the old Buckos. My friend Doug Rafferty, big fan.
Mm-hmm. The Burt Blyleven, Willie Stargell, John Candelaria era. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, there we go.
Steamboat cutting off that offensive flurry that Liger was throwing everything at him but the sink.
Oh, there we go.
Now, the big boot. Power man's going to come in here now. The big boot.
Mm-hmm.
Work on that. Work on the chest cavity area.
Pound away on Jushin Liger. Yep. Okay. Hit the chin lock. Try to.
This guy leaning on you with his 275 muscle. Good Lord.
I don't know if it's 275. It might be a little less than that, but still, it's all solid. There you go. All right.
Yeah, Mike Atkins just kind of disappeared out of the business, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I remember seeing him try to pick up teenage girls at the DC Armory in '92.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing.
Well, yeah. Just a bit. He actually looks kind of tall to be a referee.
Yeah. Well, but he is a pretty tall dude, isn't he?
Oh, 3. Look at Ricky.
Steamboat with, you know, 3 backbreakers, and now he's going to go.
What a baby face. Spot. There we go. Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Saved by Pillman.
That's just like subtle heel stuff there by Steamboat.
Yep. Tag the call off. You got Liger taking a lot of heat here.
This is actually a pretty good match.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, I remember the match, but I don't remember the match because, again, you know, it's been 30 years. I mean, I probably watched it more than once, but the last time I watched it was probably just under, you know, 30 years ago. I mean, this isn't a card that stands out as, hey, let's watch an old card. let's watch this one.
Yeah, but I mean, in this six, seven month era of Bill Watts, a lot of good tag matches in there.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't hate the Watts era like a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
I understood he was trying to put some mystery back into it and some better fundamental, harder hitting, ground based.
Right.
Maybe that was a little misguided, or you know, there's a limit, and you can see what it is now,
right.
What it's become now. It doesn't even resemble.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Doesn't even resemble athletic competition now. I mean, right. I'm not saying they're not superb, you know, performers and such in their own
way. Yeah. But I mean, I'm way behind on my AEW, but I finally got around to watching this John Moxley Wheeler Yuta match that people were telling me about, and you know, I mean, they made Wheeler Yuta. He, you know, just he's bleeding buckets all over the place in a random TV match. Yeah.
And
but it, yeah, but so it worked.
Yeah, I mean, oh,
there we go. Here comes Pillman.
David, here comes Pillman.
Yep.
Pillman getting a hot tag on a guy who's probably. Yeah, getting a big babyface hot tag on a guy who's one of the best babyfaces ever.
Yeah.
And Steamboat's selling and coming up, bumping and feeding for him like a heel.
Of course.
And, you know, also Steamboat is just...
Because he's Ricky Steamboat. I mean, that's all.
Because he is so next tier, you know, unreal how good Steamboat is. Did I ever tell you the story about seeing Steamboat wrestle Drew McIntyre on a house show back in 2009?
I
went to Hershey, and I guess that was like after he did that whole deal at WrestleMania with Jericho, and I guess they were trying to teach. It was before McIntyre was on TV, I think.
Yeah.
So they were just putting him out there, and him and Steamboat did like a 15-minute match.
Yeah, it could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I was just beside myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a movie. To me, that was worth the drive. Like the kids wanted to go see, you know, Punk against Jeff Hardy. Which was a good match.
But, they had a lot of good matches. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
But I'm getting to see Ricky Steamboat one last time.
Yeah.
And the way he just comes up, he just.
Yeah. Here comes Nikita. Oh, there we go. Good job by Liger.
I don't know anybody who doesn't enjoy watching Ricky Steamboat, and if they don't, I don't know what.
Right.
What they could enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Nakita Gold, nice tackle.
Shoulder tackle.
Nice tackle. You've yet to see the Russian sickle or the Russian hammer.
Nope.
He's setting up for it.
Oh,
now.
Pillman, there we go.
Set to a
tag. Oh, tag. All right. Pillman's not going to let him finish off Jushin Liger. Ooh. Okay. There we go. Very nice.
One more time.
All right. Coming off the ropes. Oh, caught him. There you go. That's how you do that.
Atkins getting a little distracted. Maybe so much of the Pillman Liger antics here.
That was an over the top rope, not a disqualification, if I remember correctly.
It was inadvertent.
Oh, Eric Pillman.
Should have been disqualified. No, sorry. It's not an NWA rule.
Nope. This is NWA rules. It's okay. Oh, nice.
Right on it.
Yep.
Lots of drop kicks. Look at Steamboat. Uh-huh. Again, I can't help but. To point out the fact that the way Steamboat's bumping and feeding here is reminiscent of a heel, and he never worked a heel match in his whole life.
Right.
God, Steamboat's like, that performance alone, and in the midst of this very good tag team match here to kick off the bash.
Oh! Boot up.
Ooh. Face full of boot there and a knee.
Oh, that was not what they wanted to do.
That's not what they were going for at all.
There we go. All right, he's gonna go. He's gonna get to it. Yep. Okay. Let's see. Okay, he doesn't quite have Nikita set up, hooked in right.
Is the cameraman Conan Chris Walker or?
Maybe.
Yeah, there's a name that almost no one's gonna know.
Yeah. Well, we know it. That's what counts.
So it matters.
Okay. Jawjacker.
And if you don't know it, way back playback fans, call us and we'll figure it out.
Stick around. Stick around. We'll get around to it eventually. All right. Steamboat's going to get a tag here. And there we go. And so is Jushin Liger. All right. Here we go. Whoa. Ooh.
Oof.
Ends of gear. That could have been it, but wasn't. Oh. Nice.
Just a defensive move there. That's counter wrestling.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And again, more bring counter wrestling.
Amazing. All right, tag the Pillman. Okay. Steamboat didn't see the tag. Takes the crossbody. No. And the winners of this are going to get Doc and Gordy on next week's episode in the semifinals. Yep. Got him. No. Oh, can't.
Oh, he lost him.
Steamboat can't bridge up the way he wants, but we'll get there. Got him again. We're going to get the backslide.
Everything can't look perfect all the time. Everything can't, yeah.
Yep, which is fine. Oh, he wants Nikita. Can't get him. There we go. Belly to back. They're so good, and you know they don't have a. You know they didn't write out a 12-page script for this. They're just calling it out there.
Yep. Absolutely, which makes it even that much better.
And they got to work with each other so much over the next several months. When you get to Steamboat and Douglas and Pillman and Austin. Okay, scratch. Oh, yeah, there's Nikita makes a save.
Or was it Los Hombres or
Los Dos Hombres? Up. Roll through. Steamboat's got him. He did it. Steamboat and Nikita Koloff advance. Look at those people.
Outstanding matchup.
That's a main event caliber match, but we're opening the pay-per-view with it.
Yep. Because it's a tournament. You got to start somewhere.
All right.
All right, you go ahead and talk through. I need about 2 minutes here, and I'll be right joining us right back, okay?
Okay, yeah, you're going to get your commercial. All right, here comes Pillman off the ropes, crossbody, but the momentum. Ricky Steamboat carries through with the momentum. And Pillman's stuck. Yep. Mike Atkins, you know, gets in the position, makes the count. All right. Great strategy, yep. I mean, Ross and Ventura don't always get it along, but they seem to both enjoy that. And I mean, Jesse didn't have a whole lot. It wasn't doing a whole lot of clowning or, you know, for his usual act. Here we go. All right. So we're talking about how the Steiners lost the titles and they're not here. And it's kind of hard doing a WCW pay-per-view, especially a big one like this without the Steiner brothers on it. The Steiners are big stars. Let's go back to, what is this here? Oh, Eric Bischoff is standing by with the Steiner brothers, the current IWGP tag team champions. Yep. And what are the other wearing?
Belts everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, they have, what are these? What are these shirts that they're wearing? The Steiner brothers Japan shirts or
I'm going to get back here and I'll
Scott Steiner's quoting Muhammad Ali.
Misquoting Muhammad Ali is probably
yeah. More. Well, Steiner's say that nobody, you know, nobody goes undefeated. Ali never went undefeated. Harley Race never went undefeated. So you got to deal with adversity.
Well, I end up hitting the Applebee's commercial here. So okay. I had to walk out of the room. Now I'm back on seeing the 7 half price appetizers.
Oh, why?
7 nights a week.
Mm.
No Applebee's in my
Frankenstein. Okay, this is the Frankensteiner t-shirt. Yeah. They want to tell Doc and Gordy it's not over. You're going to need parental consent to watch this when the Steiners get a rematch, because it's not going to be pretty. Okay, thank you, Rick. So Steiners showed up. They're just not wrestling. And it's time for this big quarterfinal match that I know Shane's excited about. I'm excited about. Everybody's excited about. One fall, 30-minute time limit. Okay. From Japan. Hiroshi Hase and Shinya Hashimoto. Okay.
Hase, of course, the senator, you know. At least he was at one point in time in Japan. Mm-hmm. Really, the glue.
And there's Hashimoto, yeah.
And here's a guy who just absolutely doesn't look like he's anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until you watch him.
Until you watch him work.
Until you watch him work, yeah.
Really good. It was unfortunate, you know. Again, he died so young. Look at the old rats in the front row.
Huh?
Back when, yeah. Right. Yeah.
That Street Atlanta, GA. Yes. Yes, the Freebirds allegedly outweigh Hashimoto and Nase.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. this is the Freebird Forever era.
Freebirds beat the Silver King at the Clash.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, by all means.
Which is interesting. It was on the Clash of Champions, interestingly enough, because it was another clash of styles. Yeah. Silver King, yeah. Vel Texano, and
Three Silver King. Nasty Silver and King. Hot. Silver King, obviously very out. Well remembered as the lead heel in the movie Nacho Libre.
Was he?
Yep, he was. Yeah. Here we go. Let's see what we have here. It's Ace and Michael Hayes.
Right. Something you never got to see again, I'm pretty sure.
All right. And Michael Hayes is going to moonwalk, and Hiroshi Hase will not.
Yes.
All right. Good to see you.
They were like cats during this era to me. Nine Lives. It's like every time you felt that. They had repositioned themselves. I think Jim Herd was a fan. So they got several years just because of that.
Yeah. I think that they would hit the beginning of the end here shortly when Jimmy Garvin's deal came up, and actually the Freebirds deal came up, and Bill Watts let Jimmy Garvin go.
You know what? I found on the internet the other day something I never knew even happened.
Oh, the Jimmy Garvin, the Jimmy Garvin audition tape.
Yeah, with Gene Okerlund.
Yep.
I never even knew that happened.
That was a hidden gem on the network.
What the hell was that? Now my internet's frozen. It's Hase trying to grab.
Right. Okay, Hase nips up and gets out of the hold, and here we go.
By the arm.
Okay. I'll say a former 3-time IWGP Tag Team Champion. Up. Oh. Yeah, we need to get some good counter wrestling, more counter wrestling and mat wrestling here with him and Michael Hayes. Oh, tag into Garvin. There we go. Garvin looks downright slender at this point. In the corner, and well, it's that. Here comes Shinya Hashimoto. Oh. And don't let yourself get hit with that spin kick, Jimmy. Let's see. All right, Garvin with the headlock, back into the hammerlock. Oh, there we go. Drop to a hold by Hashimoto. Okay. All right. There we go. Back in the Headlock by Hashimoto. And Takeover. And a two count. Hashimoto has that, what you call that, low center of gravity. Wouldn't you say, wouldn't you say, Shane? All right, there we go. We're working the arm. Tag in Ase. Okay, up. Oh, Garvin gets out of the wrist lock. Nice. Okay. Gonna chop and chop and more chops. Back to Hashimoto. Get the good USA chant from the crowd. And now Hashimoto with the kicks. Yikes. Garvin is getting thrown around. And nope. All right, tag to PS. Okay, and now Hayes is going to work the arm.
How did you feel about the Garvin Hayes Freebirds?
It was okay. I mean, you know, obviously, but it, I mean, it's not the same as, you know, as Hayes and Gordy and Buddy Roberts.
Yeah, different presentation, for sure. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, like I said, I'm having troubles.
All right, Hashimoto is choking Hayes against the ropes. A big chop.
Where are you at time-wise? Can you tell me time-wise?
Let's see. Off the ropes. Back elbow. All right. 36, 43, 44, 45. There.
Okay.
I accidentally stopped it, so let me just get back into this here. Sorry about that, folks.
We do this live to tape. We
won't have any problems. All right. Here we go. Well, I'm a little bit behind all of you, but let's get back up. Okay. Yes, let's resume, shall we?
And we're at 36.
Okay, and back into the, there's the knee for and tagging the Hase, and it's 36, 56, 57, 58.
I'm there.
Okay, slam I'm by there. Hase.
Big slam by Hase.
Word roll.
Caught him just on the glance.
And let's go ahead. Up. Thought we're gonna work a nerve hold for a second. No, we're gonna do.
We're gonna try to do something.
Got wrench into a
park bench.
Yep.
That's what we used to call it anyway, the park bench.
Okay. Yeah, the Freebirds, as JR just pointed out, have recently lost the US tag titles to Dick Slater and the Barbarian. Also not in the tournament, by the way.
Yes. And it was the last
that was the end of the U.S. tag team titles.
Yes, the end of June, as I recall.
Yep.
They lost it, and they had like X amount of time to the end of June to regain it. There was not going to be anybody who was going to be there. And obviously, that weighs into the whole NWA, WCW. There's IWGP champions walking around. There's just a lot.
Yeah, there's just too many. Ooh.
Yeah. You can make the argument they didn't need the NWA tag team thing, but they were trying to reassociate themselves with the brand name that a lot of their audience base that they had lost, you know, connected with.
Yeah, Hashimoto getting good chunks of offense in. All right. Garvin made the save. But here we go. Ooh, nice. Yeah, he does the fall away slam like Scott Hall did, Hashimoto, except he bridged back and held it. Went for a pinfall.
Your referee is Nick, son of the assassin, Patrick.
Right.
Actually, he's selling shirts online now. Deep South Wrestling shirts with a picture of the assassin on them.
Okay.
I got to get me one of those.
Are we getting a nerve hold? Yeah, there we go.
One of the all-time great heels, the assassin.
Mm-hmm.
What a promo.
Okay. Tag back in Asa.
Japanese putting the beat down on PS.
Yep. Which is what they're supposed to be doing.
Yes. PS stands, of course, for Kurusu-san.
All right.
Thanks for following that one.
I know. Purely sexy. Yes, that's right. Okay. Yes. No, noted pure aficionado Michael Hayes getting shot in. Up. Oh, gets up. Oh, he's going to drop him with the left hands. But there's nothing to follow up with. He's got nothing else to follow up with. He needs a tag to Jimmy Garvin, and there it is.
Michael Hayes with his nade punch.
Oh, big.
Oh, just plows over Hashimoto there.
Jimmy Jam wearing the knee. That's pretty impressive that he just slammed Hashimoto.
Yeah.
Like, Jimmy Garvin was no wuss, like I said.
No, he wasn't.
He was a state champion level amateur as a kid. Jimmy Garvin was very credible.
Fans calling for the DDT from Hayes, but Hayes is not the legal man. Garvin is. Up, oh, the frog. Oh,
oof.
Oh, Northern Lights.
I think that's it for Jimmy Jam.
That's and it. Hiroshi Hase, Shinya Hashimoto, move on.
That was not nearly as bad as I thought it was.
Nope.
Is, going to be looking back at it because it's just such a style difference. But
good stuff, though. Oh, there's even a... Yep, there you go. Hayes is upset, but that's too bad. Right. There we go. There's the finish. Wham! All right. Can't go wrong with the Northern Light suplex from Hiroshi Hase. Okay.
Didn't do Garvin any favors, but...
Yep.
He's right on his tiptoes, too. He's a hell of a bridge on that.
All right. Hold on. Well, we think we're going to go to Magnum with Cowboy Bill Watts. It might as well here. Hiro Matsuda's here. Oh, they got the NWA heavyweight title belt back from Ric Flair. They paid him $28,000 to get it sent back. But there it is. The belt's there. And Bill Watts is announcing the NWA World Heavyweight Title Tournament in Tokyo on August 6th. Already sold out at Sumo Hall.
Commercial, but who's there?
It's Bill Watts and Hiro Matsuda. Tony Schiavone's holding the microphone.
Okay. I seem to remember they did another one of those promos at one point or another. Sakaguchi ended up in it. I don't know if that was at Halloween Havoc. We did Halloween Havoc, you and I, not that long ago, I don't think. But
They are removing... Bill Watts explains that he's removing Ric Flair's name from the belt, nameplate from the belt. He's giving it to Hiro Matsuda to take back to Tokyo. And again, present to Mr. Sakaguchi. When the winner is decided, Sting will Sting will get will end up getting a you want Sting to get a title shot at the NWA title. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Bill Watts wants the once the WCW and NWA World Heavyweight title consolidated eventually. Bill would leave, so it's going to take a little while for that to happen, folks.
And even when they were trying to do it, they didn't.
And this is a good stopping point. I'm going to call a halt to this at 43 minutes and 41 seconds. There we go. That is it for the week. Back after this.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
For over 10 years, Shane Hurricane Helms has been a pioneer in the podcast game.
And now, the Creative Control Network proudly brings to you the record-breaking, history-making, longest-reigning, most entertaining cruiserweight champion of all time, Shane Hurricane Helms, and the Highway to Helms podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your favorite podcast may be, you'll find me, Shane Hurricane Helms. And if you don't know, Google me, biatch!
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
All right, Shane, when we pick it back up next week, boy, we have a lot to get to. We've got this tag team match. We'll wrap up the quarterfinal round with Rhodes and Windham against Rude and Austin. And then we'll go into Steve Dr. Death Williams and Terry Gordy against Nikita Koloff and Ricky Steamboat. That's not bad.
That's two good matches to look forward to here in the coming weeks.
I'm very excited about that. I want to thank everybody for joining us here on this big 4th of July weekend. And don't forget to follow us online. I'm on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil, MCNEILL. Shane is at one only Shane Shad 1. That's how you reach him. Hoping to get Jim Valley back for the 8th anniversary show. He is at Jim Valley. He's been very busy as well. And, of course, you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever your pods are cast. It doesn't matter. We're there. Our feed is everywhere. And if you'd like to know more about Nikita Koloff, Ricky Steamboat, Jushin Liger, Brian Pillman, or the Freebirds, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer, or you can go download your local library app, because as it turns out, they're all in books. Shane.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
We'll be back next week with this, and going to start the road to the 8th anniversary show, which I think is going to be episode 417. So not too far off. I think that's going to hit Labor Day weekend, but going to have a lot of good wrestling fun all summer long. Until then, yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.